10 o'clock hour of Wildy and Tausch. With Tausch back in his normal spot. Thanks again to Eric Name, our cousin sub of the day yesterday. But the 10 o'clock hour begins now. And it begins, Jesse, with you responding to our old buddy Josh DiMaggio. We love Josh. He steps into the breach when we need him to, just like Ashton does. But he sent along a chart. Charts and graphs. And Jesse, while I will admit that I wasn't entirely clear on what the chart illustrated, you kind of went after him a little bit for what you perceived to be the stupidity of this chart. Explain yourself so we know where to start here.
Okay, so there are all these people now that do these advanced analytics stats, and there's a bunch of letters and numbers and points, and I don't understand what all of it is. And I get that a lot of it is valuable information. This one, though, I don't understand at all what the point of the chart that Josh shared in our little group chat is even trying to say. And I needed a spelled out explanation just to learn what the chart is even trying to show me, let alone how I'm supposed to interpret the chart. It's like giving me a book and it's written in a different language. Like, I can't even look for the literary techniques if I don't understand what it's even trying to say on the first page. This chart, it's blue, it's red, it's how NFL coaches use timeouts. This is what it says at the top of the stupid chart. How NFL coaches use timeouts. Per game timeout usage, 2018 to 21, W9 in parentheses. What is this, a tax form? Current head coach is shown. Like, McVay's at the top, LaFleur's second. They got a bunch of red and then some blue. There's no, I don't understand. I don't get it. I don't understand what the chart is trying to tell me about Matt LaFleur calling timeouts.
Ashton, you were on this as well. You saw this chart. It's from someone. I don't know Michael Lopez. I'm not here to besmirch his reputation. But what you understood this chart? Because Jesse has a point that everyone now has kind of fancied themselves as an analytics expert. And baked into the cake is clearly some subjectivity, as I read, like, it, one of the categories is unnecessary timeout, right?
Yeah.
Well, how the hell do you know whether it was unnecessary or not?
Who is Michael Lopez, and who made him the god of when there's a necessary and unnecessary timeout? Like, does Michael Lopez now know when Lucas Patrick's a little hurt, and a little gassed from a big block and needs to call timeout?
Well, you don't call timeout because somebody's gassed on a block. Like, that's not why.
You were doing well.
This
right
is about this is about clock management. It's about understanding your football team and trying to get the ball back at the end of a half, because so many of these games are won and lost at the end of the first half. And that, to me, is what everybody saves their timeouts in the second half. And if you don't, you're an idiot. In a close game, you need them. And you have to use them at the appropriate times. And you have to give yourself it. For everybody crushing Mike, they ended up getting the ball back. Mike McCarthy, they did get the ball back. They had timeouts, and they had a position, you know, in a position there where if Dak understood, get down and give the ball to the official, they get another crack at it. For everybody blaming Mike for the time management, you can blame Mike for a lot of bad time management. Lord knows he did some stuff in Green Bay. His explanations this year with the Cowboys, some of them, he's talking about the ozone layer and carbon dioxide. Hey, there I was lost, okay? I forgot about that. But on Sunday's game, first off, they got completely outplayed. If Jimmy G doesn't throw a pick, they get run out the gym. They ended up getting the ball back and moved the ball down the field and should have had a position to make a play. They didn't.
Sounds like yesterday's show right now.
So when you start piling all that in, Matt LaFleur, I think, and I think one of my strengths as a former player is understanding, you know, where the game flow is and looking at it. And I use a timeout when not to. It isn't hard. If you can get the ball back and you trust your quarterback, which is, you know, in Green Bay, you trust your quarterback, utilize it. Don't give free possessions away. Give yourself opportunities to get points at the end of the half. Matt LaFleur and I think Aaron talk a lot about that. I think they see, because I think one of Aaron's biggest frustrations with Big Mike, as he calls him, is Mike didn't get that part of it. I think those two had fundamental differences. Aaron always wanted to get the ball back. I think there were times where Mike just said, oh, we'll go into the half. LaFleur, he has his foot down on the gas. Rodgers is right there with him saying, let's make these boys sweat. Because you see it at the end of games. These teams are sweating bullets to not give Aaron. Ask Kyle Shanahan if that was the case. And when that San Fran game, when after they threw the touchdown to Juszczyk, everybody in that, they all were sweating bullets knowing, oh, this thing's not over. We gave old boy 37 seconds
37
left.
Seconds.
Great example of Matt LaFleur using the tee up, getting the ball back and having a chance from a clock management standpoint, even with no timeouts, to give this team a chance to win, and they found a way to win that football game.
So Jesse will tweet out this Michael Lopez chart, but here's the challenge with this. And I'm looking at Matt LaFleur on this list, and their categories are time-saving. These are types of timeouts. Time-saving defense, time-saving offense. Then there's a missed challenge category, which I'm not sure I understand.
Yeah.
And then it's unnecessary defensive timeout. Unnecessary offensive timeout.
What don't you understand about missed challenges? You should have challenged and you didn't.
I think it's you got the challenge wrong and you used the timeout because you got it wrong. But that's not a missed challenge. That's a failed challenge. Okay, that's what my point was. Secondly, it has Matt LaFleur with a ridiculous number of quote unquote unnecessary offensive timeouts. And again, I would say to you that, and if Michael Lopez was here, I would say this to him, what in your mind constitutes an unnecessary timeout? Because if Aaron Rodgers sees something he doesn't like at the line of scrimmage, or if the clock is winding down because he was interpreting a bunch of things he was seeing from the defense and decided it was best to call a timeout, guess what? That's not unnecessary. It may not be necessary in your mind, but the quarterback probably felt it was necessary. That's why he called it. So I understand that the pursuit here is, hey, these guys stink at using their timeouts. That's what Michael is trying to get at, I assume. But if you're looking at this, based on the way this chart appears, Matt LaFleur sucks with his timeouts. And
I don't
get the impression that he does.
No, I couldn't disagree more. I think Matt LaFleur has been fantastic with his usage of timeouts. The first half timeouts are not the same value as the second half timeouts. So is there times it gets frustrating when Rodgers will use a timeout at the end of a play clock? I trust Aaron enough to know that it's not a bad timeout because bad things could have happened early, but you can't do that. And you also have to understand, here's the problem with analytics. A 15-point lead using a timeout in the fourth quarter when you're up 15, that is not the same thing if you're down. And it's not not all timeouts are created equal. There's a value that needs to be placed on saving timeouts when you're behind and you know that you're going to need those timeouts. That is not the same thing as you're up 9 with 5 minutes left and you're sucking down clock and Rodgers gets up there, doesn't see the look he wants, and he slaps his little timeout deal in an anger. That ain't the same as a guy using a timeout because they have 14 guys on the field and don't know their substitution patterns.
Right.
LaFleur,
unnecessary because you didn't get your substitution pattern right.
Don't care about this analytical chart, and I am not one of these guys that say, don't worry about the numbers. No, the numbers matter. Yes. But Matt LaFleur, as a football coach, I think one of his strengths is on how he uses timeouts and his clock management. And even he gets – sometimes I think maybe he trusts his players too much on challenges. He does have some challenges that
that's true.
You kind of are like, nah, you don't have a chance at this one, Matt. But
in the words of the great orator Mark Tauscher, eeyaw, we're going to play some trivia. Before we play trivia and before we take a caller to 800-990-3776, I don't know whether while there was a tornado going on or while there were concerns about how long you were delayed in Detroit, if there were any Coors Lights consumed, but I know that if there were, they definitely had the mountains blue because you're not drinking your Coors Light when the mountains are gray.
No, I'm not. Coors Light brewed with a three-step cold process. Cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged so it is made to chill. The mountains, oh, the mountains. On Coors Light cold activated bottles and cans, they turn blue when chilled to perfection. That's why it is always Coors Light in my hand when I need a moment to chill. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Maybe I should call Lopez and he can make a chart about unnecessary Coors Lights and necessary Coors Lights and Coors Lights that went by in the cooler and Coors Lights on stupid chart.
First of all, if you drink your Coors Light before the mountains are blue, that might draw some criticism from Michael Lopez on his chart, but is there really ever a time that it's an unnecessary Coors Light? We need to play trivia.
Absolutely not. Is there ever an unnecessary timeout? Apparently it is. Who knows? I don't understand.
Jesse, what's your category today?
Badgers Trivia Tuesday.
Okay. Caller 14 right now, 800-990. I didn't realize I was going to get Jesse quite this fired up. 800-990-3776. 800-990-3776. Caller 14. Wouldn't it be something if Michael Lopez was the 14th caller and then these two could argue between trivia questions? Caller 14, 800-990-3776. Badger Trivia Tuesday is next. It's Wilde and Tausch. Feels like a distant memory. Time for trivia. So welcome in our contestant, Brian in Madison. Brian, good morning. Welcome to Wilde and Tausch. How are you, buddy?
I'm good. How are you doing?
We're good. We got off to a good start on trivia yesterday, despite a category that some of us didn't know anything about, really. Nickelodeon cartoonage.
Yeah.
Let's see if you can do the Badgers trivia as effectively. Question one, Tausch.
All right, Brian. Which former Badgers player tied Michael Strahan's NFL record with 22.5 sacks in a single season this year? Is it Joe Schobert, T.J. Watt, or Kevin King?
T.J. Watt.
Kevin King played at Wisconsin?
Did Sacky
played at
Jones?
UW.
I don't
played,
know.
Played at UW. Just a different UW. Yeah. Question two.
Was there a lot? Do you think people still wish that the Packers drafted T.J. Watt?
No.
Of course not.
Because I know Jason said that that wasn't a mistake by Ted.
Question two. With a capacity of just over 7,000 seats, which Big Ten team plays its home games in the smallest men's basketball arena in the conference? Is it Rutgers, Northwestern, or Purdue?
Oh, geez. I'm going to have to go with Northwestern.
Is it still Welsh Ryan Arena?
It is. And it actually, they wanted to be the smallest arena so bad. When Rutgers joined, they actually had the smallest arena. And then Northwestern did renovations to theirs and eliminated 3,000 seats to reclaim the throne as the smallest arena in the Big Ten.
covered Steve Yoder's final game as Badgers coach in that beautiful arena back in 1992. Let's go for another clean sweep today, Tausch. Question three.
All right, Wisconsin sophomore Johnny Davis is on the midseason Wooden Award Top 25 list. Which of these is not another college basketball player on that list? Is it A, Colin Gillespie from Villanova, Johnny Juzang from UCLA, or Dexter Dennis from Wichita State?
Hmm. Ah, geez, tough one. Let's go with Dexter.
Jesse, is Dexter Dennis, is he teammates with Sacky Jones? Is he a real person?
No, he is not teammates with Sacky Jones, but Dexter Dennis is a real person on the Wichita State Shockers men's basketball team, the third leading scorer for the Shockers this year.
The third leading scorer. I didn't know you were such a big Shockers fan. Good work.
We're going to have to get Dexter Dennis jerseys, I think. He'll be our guy this year as we follow the Shockers on a big tournament run.
Brian, congratulations. Perfect score. Four entries into Friday's drawing. Well done, buddy. Thanks.
Thank you.
Jesse, I'm just curious before we get ready for the Badgers outsider. What do you have some sort of connection to Wichita State that you know that Dexter Dennis is not only on their roster but is their third leading scorer? Are they a big rival of the Bradley Braves?
As we're coming up with trivia, sometimes you just look random things up, and I saw Wichita State on TV the other day and thought, I'll pick a player from the Wichita State roster. And then I looked them up, and they had a couple of names that were tough to pronounce. Dexter Dennis was nice and easy. Third leading scorer. I had to double check. He is not on the Wooden Award midseason top 25 watch list, unlike our guy Johnny Davis. So he was a qualifier for it. I thought about putting a Bradley Braves player, but I thought that might be a little too much of a giveaway. But so.
Sure. Yeah, I regret asking this question.
Johnny just randomly watched a Wichita State game and then formed a trivia question around that. That's where we're at.
Well, no, Johnny Davis is the star of the trivia question.
Why are we asking follow-ups?
No, he wasn't.
The Wooden Award midseason top 25 list. It's a big deal.
How is Johnny Davis the star of that trivia question?
Because that's the first sentence of the question. Let me read it. Wisconsin sophomore Johnny Davis, the subject of the trivia question, is on the midseason Wooden Award list.
No, sophomore was my favorite part of that whole question. And then I was with Jason there. I didn't understand why anybody from which I didn't get it. But again, who am I to I'm not going to cast stones, Jesse.
Tausch, there's like 350
really dumb,
college basketball teams.
Yeah, really dumb.
There are 24 other guys.
But it's really dumb.
You picked the third best player on a team that I hadn't thought about since that. Remember, Wichita State,
Ron Baker.
Were undefeated, and they played Kentucky, which was a complete
horrible
believe they forced that hand. Yeah, it was a bad draw for them. But
Fred Van Vliet on that squad, yeah. Shockers.
Also, it was Louisville, and they lost to Louisville.
They're both in Kentucky. So that's
right
it for trivia.
No, the Shockers lost to the I'm calling oopsies on this. They lost to Kentucky as an 8, and Kentucky was an 8 seed, beat them as a 1 seed. Check it out.
Yeah, you're right. You're right,
Josh.
We're both right.
Wichita lost to Louisville.
The year they were undefeated?
Because
Wichita State was undefeated.
Correct.
And they got beat in the second round of the tournament.
That was Kentucky.
Sounds like they've been undefeated a lot. And have done nothing with it.
I think, Ashton, I think you're wrong here. I do.
I'm probably
not
wrong.
Such
I'm
an irrelevant basketball team after all, is it, fellas?
In retrospect, I started all this by asking a follow-up as to why Dexter Dennis was in the trivia, and now I regret that. The Badgers outsider, who I'm sure will clarify all kinds of important information for us, is next, presented by PDS. It's Wilde and Tausch. For our our Shockers Outsider as we talk Wichita State basketball. Just a fact check for Ashton, Rotman, and Tausch. Ashton, I can see how you got confused, but you were wrong. The Wichita State Shockers did reach the 2013 Final Four, where they did lose in the Final Four to Louisville, which later vacated that title.
I saw it. They won. I saw it. It happened.
But they were not undefeated at the time. The following year, they were 31-0. And then they ran into the Kentucky Wildcats, as Tausch said, and lost in the NCAA tournament.
You could say both seasons resulted in...
I just thought
did you turn off his mic while he was talking?
Yeah, I did.
Is that what you did?
Yes, I did.
That was beautiful. Like, I could see him on the video chat still talking, and nothing was heard. And now, bravo to you, Ashton Rotman. Let's welcome in someone that we would never mute, like Ashton just did to Jesse. From PDSIT, it is our Badgers Outsider, and Tausch, when it comes to IT, PDS is where we go when we have questions.
PDS, been providing technology solutions and transforming IT for area companies for over 30 years. PDS is giving today's worker the true ability to work from anywhere as they balance work and life. PDS wants to be your trusted partner in driving success with enterprise solutions, digital workplace platforms, and managed services that fit your needs. PDS, Paragon Development Systems. I kind of wanted to hear what Jesse's pun was. I was wondering where he was going. Do you have any idea what it was, Jesse?
Jason? It was going to be... you could say that both those outcomes were shockers. That's what it was going to be.
Okay. All right. You guys spoiled it. What's going on this morning, Derek? What do we got? What do we want to talk about today?
Well, I come on the air and find some of this behavior kind of shocking.
Is everyone happy now?
Yeah, just as lame as it was when Jesse wasn't audible. Yeah. Yes, nice work.
It's very difficult to remember which season is Wichita.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
We're going to need to marshal all of our intelligence to get through the segment.
Oh, jeez.
They switched from the Missouri Valley to the American Athletic Conference, and I don't think they're in Kansas anymore.
I tell you what, this is content that is fire.
Tausch, what are you doing, man? You're over there encouraging him by chuckling at this.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. But here I am.
Let's talk to Derek.
Well, gentlemen, I think if we learned one thing through the weekend, it would appear that if the playoff field gets to be a little too big, it can result in some stinkers. So the sort of the fears of college football manifested a bit in the NFL. And, boy, we saw some quarterbacks. The moment got a little big. So it made Aaron Rodgers more valuable than he's ever been.
Yeah, so, Derek, I put this plan in place, and it hasn't gotten kind of the push that I had hoped, but the idea of the one seed being able to pick your team, because all, really for the last two or three weeks, looking at the NFC field and the fact that Green Bay beat Arizona without, you know, it's almost its entire receiving core, San Fran was that team that I was a little bit skittish on. I guess, do you like my plan of entertaining and content and having Matt LaFleur, Mark Murphy, and Brian Gutekunst up there determining if they get to pick the Rams or the 49ers to come to town? And B, I'm not as afraid, I guess I'm not as scared or spooked by San Fran if Freddie Varner and Nick Bosa are both dinged up coming into Lambeau on Saturday night.
I think it's a good idea. I think anything, though, that gives the appearance of a lack of professionalism, and when you get to this point of the NFL season, it's sort of a risk to the organization for whatever reason, if people find that there is gambling reasons or some other motivation besides pure competitive advantage for making that pick. But I think it would definitely be interesting. I think that idea has got some legs. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm just worried about the Packers overall. When you go and you have success up to a point, but that point always seems to be an end game before we get to the Super Bowl. It has kind of taken on a life of its own, but I trust any matchup where it's Aaron Rodgers versus Jimmy Garoppolo, and the defensive line be a little banged up, I think, for them doesn't help them either, and they have to come up here, which I think was a great point you made about college football, is these southern teams in the NFL have to come up and play, and in college football that may change some things too if they have to come up north and play. So I like the Packers' chances.
So clarify this, though, because you like Tausch's idea, despite its lack of professionalism. Is that what you're going with there?
Yeah, I think there's something about the idea that it should be an objective truth that if you're the number one team, you should play the number seven and so on. There's logic to that.
Sure.
I guess I just wonder about what the influences of other forces outside of purely football that might influence the choice of who to play against.
I understand.
Like that.
Setting that malfeasance aside...
I understand what you're saying there, but they do that with the draft all the time. Like, they do. Like, this is literally the exact same thing. You're drafting which team you play. You're not going to, it's not going to be affected by on the field. Matter of fact, you're going to spur on the underdog, which I think we all can appreciate and like. If you don't pick San Fran, you pick the Rams. You know, the Rams are going to have a spur in their boots about the fact that they bypassed San Fran. That's where I think it's interesting and intriguing. There isn't any professionalism or mal. This is about entertainment. The NFL has been done with that. They want you to be entertained. That's why they went to 17 games. That's why they threw a 7 seed in the playoffs. Either the both teams got their brakes beat in. That's what they're doing. And if you're going to go down that path, which I'm fine with, then go down the path. Don't try and keep your other foot over here in Johnny professionalism category. This is the road we're going down. Entertain us then. That's my point.
Pardon me. You really got some passion about this that I didn't know existed. That was an idea that sounds like it's sort of your baby. There's some things I would change
about
the draft.
Yeah.
I don't love the idea that we motivate teams at the bottom of the barrel to lose toward the end of the season. There's some things about the way the draft is done I don't like. I don't think fans love it. I don't think adding a 17th game has a lot to do with entertainment. It has to do with lining their pockets and making the dollars and cents work. As a tactical decision, I guess I don't care. What would be interesting is if you had your whole team healthy, right? You're full strength. Does the coaching staff say, we may as well go up against X team that has a couple injuries that might be a little better than others and get them out of the way earlier and we can play them while we're fully healthy? I guess there's some thoughts like that. It's an intriguing thought experiment. Do I see it happening? No. But I guess if you want me to fawn over your creativity, then I'm here to do that. I think it's a good idea, Mark.
Okay.
It's a good idea.
Thank you. Yep. Thank you.
The question that I was trying to ask was simply this. If Tausch's position was available, would you pick the 49ers or would you pick the Rams? Because his explanation, as he continues to discuss Freddie Warner, ja, sehr gut, mein Freund, and Nick Bosa, is the injury factor. I still think that if you're purely choosing on which team I like the Packers' chances better against, I'm picking the Rams. I would pick them before I would pick the 49ers. Yes.
Oh, no. Not in the playoffs. The regular season, I might say that, but I want to go against Garoppolo. I think you've seen these games. The quarterbacks are really important. I like a matchup against Garoppolo much better than I do with Stafford. And you see Beckham's playing better. I don't understand that line of thinking.
You have fallen victim to the Matthew Stafford narrative that he never gets blamed for not being very good.
Well, I'm also falling for the narrative of Cooper Kupp and OBJ. And it seems like a running game that's kind of seemed pretty good last night. I don't want to mess with that. We used to have problems with the Niners. I get that. But we went down and beat them. We got a whole new staff, a new culture.
I just think it's quite obvious that that's a better matchup for us, especially okay. minus Bosa. And you know what? I'm not even really afraid of Bosa. I think the offensive line and what's happened there this season is as remarkable as any other storyline with the Packers.
I cannot wait for Tuesday next week to ask Derek if he turned out to be right or wrong about I'm not even worried about Bosa. That is that. Save that clip because I'm intrigued by that.
I'm Tosh. Not.
All right, Derek, before we let you roll here, I put something out yesterday. I had a long day of travel. Can someone explain to me, so when you recline a seat, you're reclining it, what, an inch and a half, maybe. COVID strains, shortage on staff, everybody's already frazzled. You're wearing a mask the whole time. Why on earth? I want to put in place the banning of moving your seats. Be done with it. Get rid of the button. Say, you get down in your seat and you sit down. That's it. Buckle up and roll. For any flight under 3 hours, that's the new rule. Are you coming on board with me on this new plan?
I have a deeper question. Why is the Green Bay Packers Hall of Famer flying coach?
What are you talking about? I didn't say I was flying coach. I'm asking you a question.
In first class?
No seat reclined. You're not reclining seats.
Well, I don't.
That's what I'm saying. Are you on board?
You're like Ric Flair to me. You're jet plane flying, limousine driving, living on the high side of town. I don't know what happens okay. up in front of the plane with the big seats and the blankets and the drinks and the sanitary napkins or whatever they pass around up there. I say if you're flying on Spirit or Frontier where the rest of us have to fly, I agree with you. I think it's really annoying to have it bent back into your space where you can barely get your half-cup beverage pulled up to your mouth. I think that I don't see what there's much advantage to the reclining. And it is kind of I agree with you in that fact. But I think people would like a little bit of insight into why you're not flying first class. And if so, why is this a problem for you? How many lap belts do you require?
Well, that's why your name's not on the show. My point is, I'm saying I missed what he said, and I'm probably all right with that. My point is, once you decide, let's just stop with the inch and a half recline. Be done with it. It's only irritating more people. It causes more consternation. That's it. So that's what I would say.
No, I'm in full agreement. I think it's annoying. There's enough annoying things that happen when you travel. For the bang you're getting on the inch and a half coming back, you're annoying the person behind you more. I think fixed is the way to go on planes. And I don't mind being jammed in there pretty tight if it means I get a good deal, because you're only sitting there for a couple of hours for the most part, and people need to accept that. So I'm with you. I'm with you today. You got a lot of ideas. They're kind of weird, but whatever. I love you the same.
I thought Fair this enough. Went well. Derek, great talking with you, buddy. Thanks.
It's been a pleasure, gentlemen, like it always is. Go Pack, go. Can't wait for next week.
Me either. So there are days when I irritate Tosh. There are days where perhaps Derek does. We always love it when we talk to our Badgers outsider, Derek Blakesley, on Wildy and Tosh. More next. It's Wildy and Tosh. Tosh, I need your help.
Okay.
You're a sage sports parent. Your life has been impacted by Packers scheduling many times. Here's my situation. The Green Bay Packers, thanks to Mike McCarthy, Dak Prescott, Kellen Moore, etc., are playing on Saturday night. Had Mike McCarthy's team taken care of business, they'd be playing on Sunday. Okay, now we did a poll yesterday, and I was in the very distinct minority. What did it end up at, Jesse? Like 70%+? They love the Saturday night playoff game. I'm guessing that you love it too.
Yeah.
Some Coors Lights, some Tito's. You're happy they're playing on Saturday night, Tosh, would you say?
No, I'm fine with Saturday night. I think it's to their benefit. So, yeah, I think it fits. It's good. It's fun.
All right. So, Sydney's fifth grade girls basketball team has games scheduled at 3, 5, and 7 p.m. on Saturday. Now, You can question my credentials as a coach, and that would be very fair, but I do coach her team. And I have a scheduling conflict. I have to cover the Packers game. So there is some talk, and not because of me, but because there are a lot of dads and moms who would like to watch the Packers playoff game, that they might move some of these games. Would you be, as a sports parent, one of the parents who would like to see the games moved? I don't know, to say Sunday when the Packers don't play at all. Or would you say, no, you adjust, hey, it's the Packers, I'm not playing for them, I don't have a relative on their team, play the games, and I'll catch up on the Packers game whenever my kid's 7 o'clock game ends?
Yeah, you play the games. This isn't a question. Like, this isn't... Now, for you, you have a tricky decision.
Correct.
I think it's pretty easy. I don't think you need to be at every one of your kids' games. I don't think that's actually healthy either. But to be at
Let me clarify. We didn't have anyone to coach the team. So I was drafted. So I am the coach. I'm not just, you know, the guy taking pictures.
You're not the – there's no way you're the head – you're the head coach.
Of her fifth grade basketball team, yes. You can say all you want how that speaks to the depth of our coaching staff, but yes. The other dads, their girls are on the other team, so they're all like assistants on the other team. And then it's me and my team of 14. I have one person who helps me. She's certainly capable of taking over the head coaching reins, so I'm not worried about that because it's not like I'm John Wooden out there.
Sure. I don't think there should be any conversation of switching the games. That to me is lunacy. From your end, it's pretty easy. You don't do the three. If the games are local, you go do the 3 and 5. You head up and go to work for the 7. You miss one game. That's easy. Rescheduling and reshuffling the games? No. Not. No, I have a real hard time figuring out why anyone would think that.
Well, here's why. Because there are some high school teams that are scheduled to play Saturday night in this region, and they're moving their tip times earlier so people can watch the Packers playoff game. There's churches that would alter their church schedules back in the old days of having, you know, make sure you're out by noon so you can watch the Packers game at noon. Like, I don't think it's unprecedented necessarily, but a Saturday night playoff game, there are high schools that are talking about moving their tip times earlier so you don't miss the game. Now, fifth grade girls basketball, maybe a little bit different. I just thought it was interesting that people are so invested that even if they have a loved one playing in a game, they would like to see that game altered so they can see the Packers game.
I mean, in an ideal world, yeah. But I think, too, you know, you get these schedules and you have the games on them for, what, weeks, months in advance? If the game's on the schedule, you're going to go play it unless you have something of, you know, if you view the Packers the same as if it was a niece's graduation party or something else, hey, go ahead, you can skip it. You got 14 kids, don't come. I bet you as a coach probably got no problem with that. Unless it's your star player, which I'm guessing your daughter is, then you bring. You don't miss. But if it's the seventh kid on the bench, yeah, go ahead, take Johnny to the football game. That's great. We're not going to sweat that. I would not, but I listen, people love, you want to watch the game. If you have tickets and you're going to the game, that's a whole nother animal.
Right.
That's
right.
A different animal. Then you pass your kid off to somebody that doesn't have tickets. They go play. You go to the game. But I'm not rearranging my whole life, but I am going to maneuver and try to figure out different ways that I can get where I feel like I need to be.
So if you were just a parent and you're Sydney's dad, lucky her.
Yep.
Not coaching the team. Take that part of this out of it. You are just Joe Packers fan. You could even be Packers alumnus that you are, okay? I don't want to get into the whole, are you taking my children if I get hit by a bus? Because that's that area that I still am afraid to finish my estate planning with DeWitt on. But if you're just going to watch the game, are you going to Sydney's games? Or are you, like, saying, hey, Sarah, take Sid to the game so I can watch the Packers game instead?
This is going to sound absolutely crazy to you, but if Max had a hockey game and we had a tournament in Detroit, I'm going to Detroit. Period.
Right.
Wow.
Now, that I'm working, you know, if I'm doing a post-game show, I can do two things at once. If I'm coaching a basketball team, A, I'm not going to probably schedule, I don't know why on earth anyone would schedule a 7 o'clock game on a Saturday night.
Scheduling. Yeah, that's
absurd.
Not my area.
This isn't a tournament where it's like if you win two, you play in the championship at 7.
No, it's not.
But obviously you want to watch the Packer game. I think everybody that lives in Wisconsin is a Packer fan. You're going to maneuver your schedule. But if it's your family and you're a coach, you got to figure out an alternative plan. You, because you work and you have to be there. But if it's not, no, I'm going to the game. If I'm coaching the team, I'm going to coach. Just like Norm Dale said, I'm coaching. I don't know exactly how he said it, but I'm coaching this team. That's my squad. That's what I'm doing.
My team is on the floor.
Is this, Sarah just said this is an easy solution. Your wife is a world-class athlete. She's a big-time gym. Paula coaches the team. You go work. This isn't hard.
I already floated that idea to her. She was not as on board with it as Sarah is.
Why?
There's some other. I don't know. We'll get her on the show. We'll ask her.
I'm going to step up here. Paula, you're coaching the team. Jason, go to work. You coach the 3 and 5. Head out at 6. Shake hands. Say, hey, I got to roll. I got to get to the game. Blah. Oh, I know, Jason. You're a big deal. Head up to the game. Paula, you're up at 7. Let's see what you got.
Paula.
That's a no-brainer.
Paula. Yeah.
Just to be clear for Sarah's benefit, I did suggest that. That was not met with the enthusiasm that I was hoping for from Paula. That is. I appreciate your attempts to help me. I wish there was a way that I could cover the game from my car and just after the 7 o'clock game ends, start covering the game wherever they're at. But I'm not going to do that because I do have a professional obligation. We will talk more about the Packers and the 49ers. We will not talk more about Sydney's basketball schedule. We'll kick off the 11 o'clock hour in 2 minutes. So stick around. It's Wildy and Tausch.